Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, and away we go.
Hello again, and welcome to the arts and business of community theater presented by the Monroe Community Players, featuring the Green Room Groupies. Each episode, we discuss issues relevant to the operation of a successful theater and how to produce the highest quality shows for your audience. And we sometimes slip into other topics as well, because you understand how green room conversations sometimes go. I'm David Ward, the de facto leader of our little band, and looking around the green room today, I see
Carol Slifka,
Kathleen McBee,
Robert Yeoman.
Yep, and we are expecting Ron Roberts to join us a little later today as well, but we thought we'd get started because we're so excited about today's topic.
Always.
Always. And actually, today's topic, just so you know, is a little something different. We have been accumulating some questions and comments, and just from being out and around and from our Facebook and I would say emails, but I'd be lying then, from various places. So we thought we would do what, if those of you who listen to Jeopardy know, it's called potpourri.
Potpourri.
So conversations and some discussion that maybe are not quite ready for a full-length episode, but questions that are burning in people's minds and they really want to answer it anyway. So are we up for that, gang?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
It's more like a small itch.
And afterwards, Kathleen will have a review, not quite a review, but a visit that she took to another theater, and we thought we'd talk a little about that as well.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds great. Okay. So here's one that we raised way back in episode 39 that I think we want a little more discussion on, and that is what artistic metrics determine a hit show versus just finance? Mm-hmm. We often determine hit shows based on money, you know, did they make profit? But is that really the only thing? Or are there other ways that we can judge what's a successful show?
Well, I guess, you know, ticket sales, not in terms of money, but in terms of how many people come to see it, mm-hmm. whether or not people come on a Friday and come back on a Sunday, so something like that. I also think, too, is that when people remember the show you were in, say, oh, yeah, I remember I saw you in whatever, and so then you can probably assume that that was either struck them somehow, or you were particularly brilliant in it, or something but that it was successful.
So did it generate some buzz?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm thinking social media can help us in that too. If people are talking about it on Facebook the next day, or Instagram, whatever you're using for your social media, mm-hmm. that to me would be a very good sign.
Yeah.
That excited people. It got people talking.
Right. Right on that note, Dave, I would say audience reaction afterwards mm-hmm. Is a big indicator. And are they talking about it? What kind of feedback are you getting right after the show? Because that tells you how engaged they were.
Did you get a standing ovation or not?
Don't hold your breath on that one.
You know, but I mean, I think you get now, and I'll be honest, I've been to some shows where it's like, I think these people get a standing ovation no matter what. Mm. It's not necessarily even community theater. Nothing against orchestras, but it seems when people go to the symphony, they always stand up at the end and applaud, and it's like, okay, this is what they're supposed to do.
Oh, maybe they're worried about being too stiff to walk, and they just want to get up.
I was going
to
say, they're just move around a little.
Yeah.
But certainly I think ovations during the show, standing ovation at the end of the show,
yeah.
Those I think are good signs, you know, again, towards the audience's enjoyment.
Now, I normally decide before intermission if I'm going to be standing up. I've already made that decision if this show has grabbed me and moved me, because I know sometimes it takes somebody to start it. Mm-hmm. And so I normally have decided by intermission how I feel about the show and if I'm going to stand up. Mm. I don't know. I'm just curious.
And what do you use for your criteria?
If I felt like the show really grabbed me, surprised me, biggest part is was I really engaged in it? Did it really connect with me? No.
So if you go in and you really love Act 1, but what if you start to hate Act 2 after intermission?
Into the woods.
Bite your tongue.
but it's the perfect example. The first half of the show is the fairy tales, fun, light, Disney-esque.
Oh.
The second act of the show is reality is struck in. The prince is a philanderer and cheats on Cinderella. The big bad wolf was actually protecting them from something. The witch is not bad.
But if the quality of the show is still there that enticed me to like it through the first part, I would still stand up. No, that would be...
Yeah. I decide usually at the very end of the show, it's like, do I want to stand up? Yeah, I think I do.
Nope.
Yeah, and to me, it's when I find myself standing without thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As an audience member, it's like, that was so good, I got to get up on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to be one of those that's like, I'm comfortable, I'm not getting up on my chair.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to shows where I have literally thought, why are you standing?
No, oh, yeah, I have too.
Yeah. I will sit,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get dirty looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's being supportive, but there's also being honest sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yep, yeah, good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
But I think, yeah, and sometimes audience won't stand. I've used this example before, yeah. When we did Mary Poppins, supercalifragilistic number. They applauded for minutes, but they never got on their feet.
Huh.
You know, we couldn't go on because they were applauding so long and so hard, but the audience, for whatever reason, didn't seem to know how else to express themselves. It's like, just get on your feet, people.
Yeah. Well, now that brings up an interesting question. Is it appropriate to stand in the middle of a show
to do an
ovation? I would not do that.
I never have.
No.
Yeah.
That would seem to, I don't know, that almost seems like it would break the fourth wall too much.
Well, maybe it's our polite Midwest that we don't want to block anybody, too. Yeah, that would be something that I would consider.
And they stood at the end. That was mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Part.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
You got it.
But that one number just really wowed them.
Yeah.
I can see standing during the middle of the performance if an outstanding performance had just been done.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of a sudden the last 8 bars of Wicked before the end of the show. And Zena and Menzel got us.
Yeah. I don't think I would stand, though.
Well, what if you knew it was intermission next?
I still don't think I would.
No, okay. I don't.
I think that's kind of that almost seems like a final statement on the show as opposed to halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'd agree with you on that. But it is one of the ways that the audience gives that feedback to the performance.
Certainly, just the applause.
You know, the applause is one thing, and one thing that I think can hurt getting a standing ovation is too long curtain calls. If the curtain call runs too long and your arms are dying, and I'm like, okay, enough.
I've been through a couple of those where it's like, come on, When directing, it's tough sometimes to tell the actors, you got to move quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's got to be a group of 4 of you taking a bow at one time together.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean your performances were any better or not, but we just got to get out of here because I got to get to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, I think. People say, but we want to savor our applause. It's like, yeah, but you want the next person to get their applause, too. And,
right.
You know, if you got a giant cast of 100 people because it's a musical that you got Les Mis, you got everybody in there or whatever, you need to move quickly.
Yeah. Well, and you need to be a team player on it. It's the applause for the show. If you're there because you want your applause, you're kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
My opinion, but
though, as Brian would point out if he were here, he loves to get that applause during the show.
Oh yeah, yeah, that
I'm
is
still
that is,
hearing
that is,
about that.
That is a unique little
I got that once.
I got that once too.
Long time ago, though.
What, mad applause in the middle?
Was Odd Couple. The very first time I went on, very first show I did with Players, Pigeon Sisters. When we left. Holly and I left, we got applauded off the stage for the first show.
Wow.
Never again.
I got it from my Evil Eye Flegel and Little Abner, which is surprising of all the characters I've done. It's like, that's the one.
That's the one.
Mine was different, and it wasn't for the comedy. It was actually for the drama, Death of a Salesman.
Ooh.
Willie Loman died, and we actually had applause and people actually laughing.
Oh, wow.
And we found out why. It's, we're free, Willie. We're finally free. Was Val's line before that thing? Because I think my head was so big it had a gravity field. Yes, I've really reached. There's not. You can hear a pin drop. And all of a sudden, just like, is she repeating the line? What the hell? I'm free, Willie, free. She was doing the right thing. She was stretching every, ringing out to get as much laughing as she could.
That's funny.
That is funny.
I mean, the other two things that I think you could measure a successful performance, at least in community theater, is were you able to bring some new people into your theater group? And were you able to bring new people to your audience?
Did you learn anything from this experience?
And that may be the best thing, is how many new people to bring in. Like the current show we're doing, Steel Magnolias, we're recording this on May 5th. And you may hear this before it goes up on May 17th. So if you're in the Monroe area, come on down. You know where to find tickets at MonroeCommunityPlayers.org. And by the way, Kathleen and Carol are both in it. So you get to see them in person. Groupies live on stage. but we have, what, two, three new cast people who
two new.
And one's returning from a previous show.
Yes.
But this is her second show with us.
Yes.
Or actually, two of them at second show, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think...
Well, Amanda and Monica has been, are new.
Briston was around before.
Briston did...
Greece. She was in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, what was Corey in?
Corey was in Time Stand Still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's exciting. But yeah, did you bring new people? And I would say, folks, not just on stage, you're backstage too. Did you get some new people to help? And I'd almost say that's the one where you actually know at the next show if you were successful, because did they come back?
Right. Yeah.
You know, if they left forever, then well, maybe that wasn't such a good experience for them. But
I hope we see, because we had such a nice turnout for the auditions, I hope we see some of those people, those ladies, because it's all ladies, I'll come back and actually see the show and maybe get a chance to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's always tough with people audition first time. It's like, and that's actually kind of leads into one of our next questions that comes up, but it's like, you know, you don't want to discourage people.
Right.
And so why don't I just do that segue in to the next potpourri question was, how do we turn people down for a role? What's a good method to say, sorry, you didn't get it? There's a lot of things out there, but you want to, again, make that a positive experience. I can see some, well, I tried out, I didn't get it, so I'm never going to try again.
Right.
Which is not what you want. You want to give some encouragement, but I know some groups simply do it. It's like, okay, we'll be posting we'll be calling those who are cast, and if you're not cast, it'll be posted on our webpage. And thank you so much for trying out. In the old days, I remember one group actually posted it on their door. And it was funny though, because here's the problem with that.
Was that parchment paper and a nail and those days? Some of that.
Martin Luther running away. Well,
it was a show I had tried out for, and I won't mention the group now because no need to embarrass anyone 40 years later. But I went up, and the callback list was posted. And there was a name in there that looked like David Waller, W-A-L-E-R. Well, between my sloppy handwriting and them not knowing me, it meant David War. My H-R looked like an L-E-R to them. So I looked and was like, okay, I don't know who. And oddly enough, I was the only one called back for this part. But it's like, in my mind, it's like, I don't know if there was a David Waller. And if I show up, how embarrassing would that be to find out that, no, we didn't put you down. So I didn't go back to the callback.
Oh, no.
I got a call from the director the next day. Why didn't you come to callbacks? I said, because I didn't see my name. And she told that story later.
Oh, that's funny.
But it was that kind of thing. So you got to be... check the names, folks. I think it was my print. Handwriting was just
I was going to say, that's our life lesson. Print.
Yes.
Print, clearly.
That's the thing. What did you learn from this experience?
Yeah. Print.
There's got to be, for every show that you do, to learn something.
Oh, God.
Good point.
Only one thing. Yeah.
At least one.
At least one. But that was my experience with bad callbacks. But that's how they did it. You didn't even get a call to callbacks.
Right.
It was posted.
Right. Yeah.
And if you didn't check it, that was your problem.
And I think I've had a really good letdown, told that I wasn't getting the part, and I've had the bad, to the extreme where it's, no feedback whatsoever. I think it's really important to, and it's painful, and it's hard, and you never know how they're going to take it. But, that phone call saying, we really appreciated you coming, these were things I liked about, here's something maybe you could work on, would be so valuable to people, because you really put yourself out there for an audition, mm-hmm. and when you don't get it, your only feedback is a no. And just to be able to have a little bit, now I've had one where it's like, we had so many good people and for one stinking part, and you did so good, and I hope it, and it's like, okay, that's great, oh, wonderful, but I actually saved that on my phone for a long time whenever I needed a boost. I would re-listen to that decline for a part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I think we can get too cold in our...
Yeah.
Well, I made a mistake when I was directing. I think it was Into the Woods. And a high schoolish guy tried out, and he wasn't good. Mm. And I think really, I'd heard him sing at karaoke. So I know he could actually do the part. But mm-hmm. he just basically... was a bad auditioner. Mm-hmm. People are bad at tests, mm-hmm. but know the stuff inside and out. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. I think it was this kid, and I talked to him afterwards, saying, "No, we went with this direction instead. You were great. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of books for you to look at mm-hmm. to understand a little bit more in how to audition." Mm-hmm. You would have thought I slapped him in the face.
Aww.
And it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Tried the best.
Yeah.
Well, I think the default turn down is usually we had so many great people and you did a great job, but we've decided to go with someone else. Mm-hmm. And while that's a pretty gentle letdown, it still doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah. Right.
So, and then the question is, how honest are you with people in terms of you don't want to break their spirit, but on the other hand, maybe somebody just has a really irritating voice.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a really high-pitched voice. And you could say, in the future when you try out or when you audition for a show, you may want to think about moderating your voice. Is that something appropriate to say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And another thing that I was thinking of, what I do also, especially when casting a lot of people have shown up, mm-hmm. I try to set the expectation up front. And, I've actually said to some folks, understand most of the people in this room will not be cast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is not a personal reflection on your human worth. Right. I don't think I use mm-hmm. those terms, but,
it's not,
this is an reflection of you as a person. This is just that... We've had to make some choices, and we chose to go in a different way. Mm-hmm. And then what I've done, because I chicken away from the bad news one, because I've been there, and it can go sour mm-hmm. real quick. Mm-hmm. I've been yelled at on the phone for not casting somebody.
Oh, no.
By a mother, frankly.
Oh.
I've been.
And it's been, it's like, okay, so here's the way it's going to work. It's the way I did it back in the age of letters was, it's like, you'll get a call if you're cast. If not, you'll get a letter. Mm-hmm. And that's changed to, if not, you get an email.
Mm-hmm. Or a text.
Or a text, but everybody will know by X date.
Yeah.
The problem with a text is they all have your number now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with email. We can, of course, send it out from the email from Monroe Community Players now.
Right.
Which is a tool we didn't used to have. You used to have to send an email from your own one. So that's something I think that... what I got to make sure directors know is mm-hmm. We got a group email that we can send it out from.
Well, and it would be nice too if in the email we could offer. We need support staff too. Would you be interested in working backstage? Would you be interested in helping with the front of the house or promotions? I mean, just those people that have shown interest. Maybe we can get their foot in the door, get them more exposure to stuff, get them involved.
42nd Street. Mm-hmm. It's the person that happened to be standing at the producer's elbow when things went wrong. And all of a sudden, there was somebody standing there that knows the part and wants to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be you backstage moving and props, and then get a call for, you're the lead actress now. Tap your heart out.
I think there's a much different dynamic, too, when you have a lot of people show up for something. You have a lot of people audition, and you've got limited parts. Then when you find out that you've not been cast, it's not a big shock. Mm-hmm. The problem is when there's six parts and seven people audition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know you're the only one who didn't get
in. And they're all friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's the hardest, is when you have a friend who tries out, who auditions, and you have to tell the friend, nah, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Say something like, oh, you just are too young for the part.
Oh.
That can backfire, too, because
you look
I
too
had
young.
To do that because it was a teenager. And I said, I'm sorry.
Well, for a teenager.
I need someone older. And it's like, but I can't get older. It's like, well, you will.
Yeah.
Sorry, but will, honey.
They, you know, so that to me was like, and maybe I need a more constructive way to say it. Mm. But that's, yeah.
I mean, obviously, the age of the person makes a difference. You wouldn't say that to a 16-year-old.
Sure.
But to a 55-year-old woman, you look too young to be a grandmother, they would be, oh, well, of course you couldn't cast me then.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
You don't think they come back, well, we can put lines on.
Yeah.
Or
I can gray my hair.
Yeah. Yeah. No one would believe that you're 60.
Yeah. You just can't do
it. I hear that all the time.
Yes.
Never.
Yeah, I feel myself transitioning out of the mom roles into the grandma roles too soon.
Yeah.
Well, wait till you get to great grandmas.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Well, and that, this isn't one of our potpourri questions, but that I think is a difficult thing for all actors, is to understand at some point you start to age out of the roles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For whatever reason.
You're no longer the ingenue.
Well, or the lead man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like...
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah. Well, and for me, because I came into acting at a relatively advanced age, I never was looking... I mean, I was never considered for any of the leading roles, so to speak, because I'm just not...
It's the physicality just isn't there.
It just isn't there, right. Mm-hmm. I'm just not that kind of person. But it's less about... the looks and more about the stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm finding with this show, even though, as I was telling Kathleen, that I really have by far, the fewest lines in the show, it still is, it's been a real challenge to learn the lines as opposed to other shows that I've been in. I don't know, maybe I'm just not remembering well because it's been a while since I did a show. But it's like, why am I having such a hard time? Well, it's because I'm a little bit older than I was the last time. And then even the, you know, not that there's a big physical part, but just the physicality, the stamina, the standing around for 3 hours at rehearsal and whatever.
The emotional weight of the show on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets to a point where you're like, maybe I need to rethink, you know, whether or not this is going to work for me anymore.
Yeah. And
I'm not there yet.
No,
but
I was going to say.
It's a tough place to be. It's I go into every show, it's like, is this the last one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dave says no.
Yeah.
Well, someday it's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And the reality is I probably won't know it until it's too late.
Yeah.
But, you know, you come in and it's like, I just can't, you know, my leading man days, so to speak, I would have thought they were behind me, but they aren't quite. But, you know, it's only if it calls for an older leading man now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like in the last play in Becky's New Car, I was one of the leading men, I guess is the way to put it, but I was supposed to be, it was an older character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to come in and play Paul from Barefoot in the Park anymore. Kids, look it up, Neil Simon. And by kids, I mean anyone under the age of 50.
Yeah.
But, you know, something that Robert Redford played, by the way, and at one time I played a role that Robert Redford played. Probably because, Robert Redford, look him, Google him too.
Yeah, look him up too, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, you just got to realize here's your limitations and here's mm-hmm. what you can do now. But like I said, even just standing around for rehearsal, sometimes it's like, okay, I got to sit.
Yeah.
Well, and the long days, and we're all doing jobs during the day, and we're working on lines in the evening, and yeah, and taking care of everything we can so we can make all these rehearsals and make all these shows. And
try to make it up to family members who feel like they're being slighted. Yeah.
And it's no wonder that oddly enough, we're seeing older people in our group. But I would think most groups, it's a little more challenging to see the older people because the way life goes is mm-hmm. things get... Your responsibilities increase as you age, it seems to me, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because people look to you for helping with other situations.
Right.
Whereas when you're younger, and you won't believe it, carefree. and when everybody has responsibilities, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it actually was easier when I was younger, and maybe it's just an energy thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Agreed.
But it seemed I could juggle more things.
I think it's a lot tougher when you have children at mm-hmm. home. And, yeah. So I think that's why you see that gap between
the
people that don't.
The 40-somethings.
Yes. They've got to have space for a life. And then they might come back to capture glory days.
Yeah.
Well, and then you have to have the support at home, too, if you have a family situation. That are they all understanding? And I remember taking a picture of the refrigerator after my first show and how empty it was. I was like, thank you, Keith. But unfortunately, I had no kids at home. So, laundry could pile up, the housework didn't get done. Mm-hmm. No, that stuff, I didn't care.
Right. Yeah, because you didn't have to worry about getting the kids out.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So another question comes up is, do we have any favorite online community theater resources? There's some out there that I've only discovered recently. The American Association Community Theater has a couple, at least one, Facebook page called Community Theater Resources Enough. They're the ones who moderate it. That I've been finding, frankly, I've been looking at it now for topics for this podcast. But that's a good one. There's one called Michigan Community Theater Fans, which looks more like just kind of what's going on in other community theaters in the area. Of course, your state organizations out there, like the Community Theater Association of Michigan has ctm.online, which is, of course, a wonderful resource. I found groups, though, for Iowa community theaters, Indianapolis, North Central Ohio. But there's a lot of stuff out there. And I'm just wondering, do we have any that we frequent?
Yes. Number one I'm using right now is songsonbroadway.com. And basically it is Broadway tunes, not just the ones, the headline songs, the inner songs, which have the dialogue in the middle of them. I've been listening to that in the background now for, the last year. And then also there is another site, but I can't remember if it's a .com or .edu, but it was Songs of Broadway. One is on, and that has the actual music playing, and then there's of, and that one is basically interviews with Broadway luminaries from the days gone by who's still alive. Mm. And that's an interesting one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, did you mention a community theater resource group?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that is the one.
I think that's one moderated by the American Association.
Yes. That is the one that I have been following. I just couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah, so I've noticed actually a lot of our group has started following them, mm-hmm. too. I'm not sure how long it's been out there. But again, AACT has done a nice job of getting that out there. I think there's one for directors as well. Which I just applied for, and I haven't received my notice saying that I've been accepted into it.
Mm.
But I would suggest anybody, if you're on Facebook, just start looking for theater, and you'll find a lot of pages out there. And they're pages that are not necessarily, they're like the one with we say AACT in Michigan for some reason, everyone else says ACT, but the one that ACT moderates, that's nice because we know there's someone who's moderating some of that content and helping to make sure that it's not just spam or things like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's out there and it's people talking to people. It's not, you know, it's not necessarily someone from trying to sell you anything. It's someone from another theater group that's looking for help or has a suggestion.
Yep.
We're to get an Audrey too for Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah. What about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Yeah. Or any, Grease frankly, Lightning. Any number of things.
Yeah. Big things that are expensive to make and a little bit more reasonable just to rent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice because you can reach out to people that, frankly, are outside of your area.
Yep.
You know, we've done some good job making, I think that we do a good job of communicating with groups in our area, but it's like, how do you communicate with other ones? And I don't know, because like say the state associations and the national associations are out there as well, but this is kind of a different level in between meetings of those groups or even workshops and seminars. This is just like, hey, how does someone solve a problem with a trap door when you don't have a trap door?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Knee pads.
Yeah, no, I don't follow any up until this moment in time because I guess I didn't realize they were out there.
Yeah, so folks, I think this one we'll kind of keep track of with you. If you have suggestions, you know, certainly go to our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
and let us know.
I do follow that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I did test it today, so you can find the Mineral Community Players podcast on Facebook by doing it that way. If you search for the Art and Business of Community Theater, it takes a little longer. Facebook seems to have some trouble with it, even though that's one of the official search terms. But if you just type in Green Room Groupies on Facebook, you'll find us right away.
Oh,
really?
Interesting.
Good to know.
Oh.
Because that's on Facebook?
On Facebook.
Uh-huh.
You guys give it a try while we're doing this right now. I was surprised. It's like, I wonder if
here's
you just type in Green Room Groupies. So if you've been having difficulty find us, just try typing in on Facebook search, not Google, Green Room Groupies, and see if you can get
I'll
us.
I'll let you guys do it.
Thanks, yeah. Bob.
It worked for me at least. Now, of course, oddly enough, my Google and our Facebook are probably geared towards finding
might
our
be
page right away.
Yep, that area. Was the first one that came up. Monroe Community Boom. Players podcast featuring the Green Room Groupies.
Yep. So.
I just typed green and it came to the top of my list.
Wow. Oh, I had to type in the whole thing and hit the search button.
Yeah.
No, I just typed in green and it was number one there, Dave.
There it is, right there.
Right so, there, so number one.
Right. So
clear
thank you, Mark Zuckerberg. You put us at the top.
Yay. We're above the Green Bay Packers, even.
We're gladly take a donation from you, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Rightly so.
Hey.
What? We're not cheeseheads, unless we have a charcuterie board before at intermission. Don't know why that came to mind.
Food is always a good topic.
I do like cheese. I eat a lot of cheese. If you saw me in person, mm-hmm. you would know I eat cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've lost my place in our list here. Another question that kind of came up is, let's say we did artistic hits. We've done online resources, how to turn someone down. This one, I'm going to give a shout out again to one of our groupies out there in groupie land, Patricia Middleton. This is related to episode 48. She has been, by the way, dutifully going through every one of our episodes. And thank you, Patricia, for commenting.
Thank you, Patricia.
I know she gets a kick out of me mentioned, but she's going to get mentioned again.
Yeah.
Because just listen next episode to Patricia. I've got a surprise for you. But she asked kind of a question and says, how do you know? Or the question she asked was, do we present shows for the audience we want or for the audience we have?
Mm.
Which I think can be kind of rephrased. How do you know what shows your audience wants to see? But I thought that was an interesting question. Like I say, we might dig a little deeper into the next episode, but mm-hmm. do we present shows for the audience we want, or should we present shows for the audience we have? Because ideally, I think you can do both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, your audience that you've cultivated over many years, that if you're like our group, is probably shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you keep trying to play to their taste or should you be playing to someone else? And this is kind of interesting to me because I saw a quote, because Facebook shows me all these wonderful things. It doesn't show me my friends anymore. It just shows me right. other things that things yes. I would like. This was an old television thing, and it was about Lucy mm-hmm. Ball. She had the show Life with Lucy, which is right. shortly remembered because it was ordered, supposed to be a full season. Mm-hmm. Only 13 episodes actually got filmed. Only 8 actually aired. And she didn't even have to do a pilot. She basically told ABC, you know what I do? I'm not doing a pilot. And ABC agreed.
Mm.
Apparently, when they were in negotiations developing the show, ABC said, hey, we'll get you the writers from MASH, which had gone off the air. Granted, it was on a competing network, but they said, you know, we'll get you some new writers, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. more contemporary writers. She said, no. She went back and got the same writers that she had been using for the last couple successful TV series.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they hadn't been doing any much in the past, I would say at least more than a decade. I'm not sure when her last show went off the air before this one.
Oh, wow. A decade?
She pulled in some of her original, her older producers. And, of course, she pulled back Gail Gordon out of retirement. But that's yeah. Mr. Mooney, that kind of character, that made perfect sense to me because they played well off each other. But she basically put the band back together
mm-hmm.
and did the same show that they always have done at a different age, she said allegedly. But from what I remember, it was the same shtick that she had been doing for the past, you know, for her entire career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And essentially her career ended on a bad note
mm-hmm. yep.
because it wasn't the success, it was a failure. And I thought the lesson for us might be, if you keep doing the same thing you've always done, at some point, that just stops working for
mm-hmm,
you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If she had gone and gotten the new writers, even though it would have been you know, upsetting to her old colleagues,
mm-hmm.
Would that show have succeeded? Would she have had the wherewithal to say, I can do this new stuff? But because what had happened within the decade or so that she hadn't done anything is television changed.
Yep. Sure. Yep.
You know, they went from the I Love Lucy's and the Life with Lucy's, or not Life with Lucy, you know, the Lucy shows.
Situational comedy.
Went from that kind of thing to suddenly Norman Lear came along with All in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly became more, it was still a situational comedy, but it was more topical.
Right. And didn't we, it wouldn't in this time span, it changed from black and white to color?
No, oh, yeah. She was doing color.
She was doing color. Yeah. Okay, so
color was 1966. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, she had been doing successful TV on CBS for decades.
Okay,
but I remember watching this thing, and on a black and white TV, didn't matter, but it was back with the stilts. That one of the opening clips was her on stilts and going her trademark wah,
but
and smashing into a shower booth that is filled with water.
Yeah.
And I just remember watching it and just going, she's already 90.
and she's
still alive? No.
So they really weren't dealing with her as an older person. They were dealing with her
right.
as
Lucy.
Lucy doesn't age.
I think we, as translating to theater, as a possible lesson is, hey, if you keep doing the same stuff over and over and over,
mm-hmm. yep.
don't be surprised if someday your audience has changed and you don't know why.
Well, and even when we do shows, I mean, from anti-heroes to the open mic to those are drastically different
mm-hmm.
kind of shows. A lot of times we still get a lot of hands raising that it's their first time.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I think we'll get that for a long time.
And that.
Well, this almost goes back to a couple episodes when we were talking about redoing shows. Yep. You know, how mm-hmm. you know, do we want to do Arsenic and Old Lace again? Do mm-hmm. we want to do Odd Couple again? It's if you don't introduce new things that are more topical, things that are dealing with what's going on, you're going to lose an audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like God of Carnage, I remember we got a comment about that is, you know, you need to do more shows like this mm-hmm. because it was a much different show than, you know, The Odd Couple or something like that. So I think that if you don't change with the times, you're not going to get new audience.
Yep.
Yeah.
go.
It should make you feel a little unsettled.
Yeah. And there is a show that I'm really going to try and get to direct next year that I think will be completely different from something we've done before. And I really want to do it. My concern is casting, quite frankly.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, it's always our concern.
Right. Yeah. So there is... Well, go ahead, hon.
No, I was done.
Okay. There was also the phrase from the Disney Corporation. We don't want we don't need to go after people that don't like us. Mm. We want to make raving fans of the people that kind of like us to make us really like us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So don't spend your energy from people who already have a grudge against you for whatever reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and like say, I think the real thing is you got to stop. If you want to anticipate survival in the long run, you're going to have to try new things.
Right. Well, I think, too, and when we go and we have our show and we ask how many people are here for the first time, great, that's wonderful, see the hands. I think we should also give acclimates to how many people are here for a second.
Yep.
You know, this
second
isn't your
time,
first show.
Third time. Mm-hmm.
Thank you
reward,
for your continued support.
Yeah,
and
reward the loyal fans.
Let's recognize them, too.
Yeah. A little pat on the back for showing up. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But, I mean, as much as people want to see me as Daddy Warbucks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
They're really...
either with or without the ball kid.
We got to really do that. Mm-hmm. But, maybe that's not in the best interest of the group. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
at some point you want to do something new. I'm just looking at our time here because we want to get to our visit with the theater group. But I think one more question, and I think this is the tough one that we have from
Potpourri. Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Well, we have over a couple of different episodes talked about accessibility in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we have talked about accessibility for the audiences. We've talked about sensory kind of shows and things like that. Question that had come up is, at what point do you draw a line when you come to physical limitations of your actors? I think it might be a question that's difficult. I mean, when you look at most shows, they're not written with someone, for example, who's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let alone maybe it's quadriplegic as opposed to paraplegic. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have no use of their body at all in the conventional sense. When do you consider these people for roles? And I don't want these people to sound derogatory, but this group of the people. And also the question that kind of came up along with that is, are there any shows that do feature people with limited mobility that maybe your group should be considering to do? Because theater is, we believe strongly theater is for everybody, but I think there's a whole population that, because they can't do slapstick, pratfalls, things like that, that is being eliminated from the joy of acting.
Mm. Well, let me push back a little bit on that. How big do you think is the population of people who do have some sort of physical disability who would be interested in putting themselves out there?
I don't know.
Yeah. My guess is that it's probably not as big as we think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I know that there are, professional actors and comedians and whatever with physical disabilities or limitations, and they're very successful, and that's fine. But in general, I don't know if there's that big of a call for
it. Well, and certainly there are things we can do, like Reader's Theater, radio, and readings and stuff that might give an opportunity, hopefully, to scratch the itch, the acting itch. But I was actually thinking more along the lines of what shows are out there.
Yeah. Well, and from a director's point of view, if somebody showed up to audition and they could do the show and there was nothing in there that required them to have a certain physicality, I would not consider them.
Right.
You know, I mean, like if you had somebody who was, of course, I'm drawing a blank here right now. I can't think of anybody.
Well, say, for example, if you were Forgot a Carnage, would you be able to cast somebody that needed to use a crutch to get up and down? Maybe they only had one leg. That would be it. That could add a whole total different point to the story. And you don't want that you know, to distract.
Right.
I guess, you know, so I think that has to be considered too.
Yeah.
You
know. Well, so let's think about steel magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any of those parts that would not work if a character was in a wheelchair? And I'll tell you one that wouldn't, and that's Weezer. Because there's a big scene about her growing tomatoes and walking her dog and, you know, getting into a fight with the neighbors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if somebody who was physically disabled would be able to pull off that role.
Mm-hmm.
But on the and same with Truvy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could she really do hair?
From a wheelchair.
From a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they had cerebral palsy or something where they had limited mobility, they couldn't be Truvy or Annelle.
Mm-hmm.
But could they be Malin? I can't think of anything she says or does that would indicate that she is has to be, you know, 100%
mobile.
Mobile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and maybe the answer really is just when if someone shows up at your theater,
yeah,
and they are in a wheelchair, for example, don't dismiss it out of hand.
Yeah,
take a good look at that part and
yeah.
say, is there anything about this person? You know, why can't this person be Oscar Madison?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I would never, like say, unless there was something specific about the character that required them to have a certain level of mobility, I would never not consider somebody for a part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think that's kind of an important thing to keep in mind because, you know, it has been a big topic for us over the course of these past 70-plus episodes. I think we've touched upon different abilities a couple times. And I think, you know, I think it's important that theater is accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether in the audience or on the stage or backstage. But it's just kind of thing. And it, because I used to joke, and I'm not sure how much of a joke it was at the time, is that I'm a director, I can discriminate against you for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, it may have been at one time,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, certainly it's not true for things, superficial things such as ethnicity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's like... unless that character really has to be African American or white, it's somehow important to the plot point.
Yeah.
What difference does it really make?
No. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a point in Othello. Needs to be a more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If the part specifically calls for it, if you would lose something in the story, mm-hmm. if the story wouldn't, or.
We're not doing Raisin in the Sun with an all-white cast.
Right. No. Or if the playwright, for some reason, says this part must be, which is what
I'm
dealing with this other show that I want to do,
mm-hmm.
is that it has to be a certain ethnicity.
Okay.
And I'm just, you know, not sure if we
can
get
that. Is it critical
to
the story?
It is critical to the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand... I don't know if you know the show Once on This Island.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's set in the Caribbean. It's famously an all-black cast. Okay, my daughter's high school did it when she was a senior with not one black child in the production.
Really?
It was a bit odd. It was a bit odd, but it worked. I mean, it was a great show, but it was just odd.
Mm. Well, and I'll go one. It's not quite. It's older than I like to think it is, but The Wiz.
Yeah,
I love The Wiz.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have to be stronger with a more diverse cast.
Yeah.
But because it was intended really to be a kind of an urban mm-hmm. African American kind of thing.
Right.
But I think it would be stronger with a truly diverse cast of all
and
all
a younger Dorothy.
Oh, yeah, Diana Ross was too old for Dorothy. Nothing against Ms. Ross. She's
a
wonderful person, I'm sure. But Dorothy Gale should be a little girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or not a little girl, a young woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or a young boy now.
I'm going to stick to young woman.
I was going to say, I don't think that would work.
No, if it's equal, it is equal.
I think it's important to the
I think
plot.
It would take away from the story.
You could do that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that would
now,
work.
Now, a young boy in a dress. That was to get Carol's hackles up. Go back to, I can't remember what episode that was.
Yes, I know.
That
what episode
be funny,
was it?
Our discussion. See, I can be insensitive too.
Yes.
Some will say that, well, that, I think that's all you are, David.
Never.
That's where we go there. Well, so those were my potpourri questions.
They smelled wonderful.
Good job.
Yeah, they did. Well,
good
it was
job.
A little different thing.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up with any potent potables. but you know, these are things that circle around. Like I say, I didn't think they were a whole episode worth of information, mm-hmm. but try something a little different. Mm-hmm. And next episode, we'll go back to our one or two topics and be done with that. With that, I kind of wanted to move along. And you know, I don't think we need Ron. We just don't laugh as much
without
Ron.
I'm telling you, Ed Bryan.
Oh, my gosh.
But we tried.
It's all the spokes of the wheel.
I got my Daddy Warbucks reference in.
There you go.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So I was going to that, but you didn't have any sports references yet.
I'm trying to think of one really quickly.
Okay.
Let's see if we can do it.
Because Kathleen had the opportunity to actually go speak to another group with Monroe Community Players, but then she visited another theater group.
I did.
And she didn't see a show. She just visited them, right?
Right, correct. I had an opportunity to meet Krista when I spoke at the Trenton Rotary Clubs. I'm going to give a shout out to them, all the great work that they're doing and how wonderful they were to me. And she is the artistic director for Open Book Theater. And that is in Trenton, Michigan on West Road. Address is 1621. They've got a show opening up the same weekend as our show, Steel Magnolias, on May 17th. But theirs runs 3 weekends. So you can come see ours and still see theirs. Okay. So we'll equally support. But Krista was wonderful. She took me to her actual studio. I got to see the theater, how their seating was. They had just finished a show, so they were tearing down and seeing the lights, how they have their theater set up. It was 3 sides, and how they've raised the audience and what they're doing. They actually own their space, so they're able to take the drop ceiling down and get all the lights in, and the lighting was incredible. And I'm really looking forward to seeing her show after Steel Magnolias is done.
Now, this is a professional theater, I understand.
Yes. She says the actors are paid, but it's the directors are more so. The actors basically get gas money, she said.
but that's enough.
That's enough
to disqualify them from the community theater in our sense.
Right, yeah. Right.
But still, it's good to know there's these relatively small professional theaters out there.
And their show coming up is Dontrell Who Kissed the Sea. Never heard of it. They only do straight shows. They don't do musicals. So interesting, like us. So, you know, they're a smaller venue. They're in a strip mall. And getting to see the whole tour, it was funny. As I was talking about Monroe Community Players, I was talking about our storage system when we were in the old American Eagle, and I could just see her salivating. She's like, "Wow, that sounds amazing!" And I knew immediately she was the theater person in the audience.
Yeah.
But yes, we all tend to accumulate too much stuff, and they had it stuffed everywhere, and you know, making the most use out of the space they have. It was wonderful, and check out their website too. It is very nicely done.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to hear your review on this, because this sounds like a historical drama, which modern drama's hidden with historical impact, I guess. If I could read from
this. Please do.
18-year-old Dontrell Jones III decides that it is his duty and destiny to venture into the Atlantic Ocean in search of an ancestor lost during the Middle Passage. But his family is not at all ready to abandon its prized son to the waters of a mysterious and haunting past. But in poetry, humor, wordplay, and ritual, Dontrell Who Kissed the Sea is a present-day hero's quest exploring the lengths and depths we must go to redeem history's wrongs. I'm not familiar with the term Middle Passage, but I'm going to guess it's slavery.
Yes, it is.
That it's so. I'm going to guess this is a powerful historic. It's a drama with historical
elements.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily. So this sounds quite the exciting. So I'm going to be curious if it sounds like something that community theater can do, because it sounds very worthwhile. Interesting that they charge a little more for their ticket than we do.
A little bit more.
Got to cover that gas money.
Yeah. Well, $30.
Well, and they also do 3 weekends.
Yeah, 3 weekends. So yeah. Wish them luck. But it's nice to see what another group can do with their limited resources as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, I don't know, because again, our focus being on community theater, I frankly just don't know how many professional theaters are out there, but I think there's a, I think there's more than we tend to think about.
Right.
Especially because, you know, we tend to forget we're in a major metropolitan area still. because we're situated between Detroit and Toledo, Ohio. So, you know, there's a lot of people here and a lot of theater, both community and as we're discovering, some professional as well. So, so good. Well, thank you very much for that, Kathleen. That's a good visit. And, of course, it's good to get out there and just kind of make these connections wherever we can make these connections. Oh, did you have another one?
Nope. Is that the same card? Was it. Nope.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Well, folks, it does look like we are pretty much running on time today, too, for some odd reason. I'm going to guess that's because...
Because Ron and Brian aren't here.
Ron and Brian aren't here. But Brian, we expect them back shortly and soon, so don't worry. But we are, we had hope you had fun listening to us today. We always have fun coming here and talking. Oh, Carol's got something.
And next time, hopefully, Ron will be out of the dugout and onto the field.
Oh, there you go. 3 points. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just before you wrap up, I just want to say that I'm going to be heading down to Morristown, Tennessee.
Are you? How exciting.
Yes, May 19th, right after Steel Magnolias finishes, and visiting my in-laws. And I'm going to look up our friend.
I think it was Ken.
Ken. When I'm down there, I'm going to be looking for you, so I'm going to check out your theater.
It's the Middletown Theater Guild.
In Morristown.
In Morristown, I'm sorry. Yes. To say Middle's coming to mind. Too many places today, but Morristown.
Middleton, our
Middleton, and we just read Middle Passage. And
yes. So,
but Morristown Theater Guild, which I love the name.
Yes.
The Theater Guild.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure, so I hope I got it right. But no, that's exciting. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be giving a report when I return from that.
Yeah, because one of the suggestions that had been given to us is once we find out we've got a listener from every state, is now we're going to need a review of a show from every state.
Ooh.
Yeah. And, you know, we like listeners from outside of the United States and territories as well. So,
okay.
You know, all you Canadians and everybody else, don't be afraid to let us know that you're out there. Like I say, we're up to episode 72 by my count. So we're closing in on that 75. Which feels like some sort of anniversary.
Yeah.
But I think we've been at it twice a month, at least 3 years now.
Wow. So,
and they said it couldn't be done. But like I said, it does look like we're out of time for this episode. We, of course, want to continue to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. If you want to be mentioned by name, you just send us a message on Facebook, send us an email to mcppodcast@monroecommunityplayers.org, because we want to keep the conversations going. As we mentioned earlier, visit our Facebook page for more fun. And fun is probably stretching it, but visit our Facebook page anyway and give us a like. Like I said, look for Green Room Groupies emails, of course. And then if you want to know about Monroe Community Players, go to MonroeCommunityPlayers.org. We do generally release 2 episodes a month. And for those of you who listened to the last episode, we made an announcement that we might be delayed because we were in the process of moving to a new studio. So I am thrilled to let you know that has happened. You may have noticed a slight difference in our sound quality. But now, instead of being at the downtown Monroe, we are recording at the Monroe County Library's Ellis Branch podcast studio overlooking the historic River Raisin. In Monroe, Michigan. And when I say overlooking, you kind of got to stand up, look out the window, and twist a little, but it's there. And if you don't know the history of the River Raisin, that's what the Google is for.
Look it up.
And it's River Raisin, not Raisin River.
Exactly.
But in many ways, we consider that the life stream that flows through Monroe County. It's like the 3rd longest river in Michigan, by the way. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Did not.
I know that it's River Raisin, not Raisin River, because it was originally French.
Yes. River Raisin, or something like that. However the French would say those things. But please... take a moment to subscribe, like, otherwise rate us on wherever you're listening to this podcast. Help spread the word that we are here. We love to do this, and we love to hear from you. And so once again, for the love of theater, we are the Groupies, and we will see you in the green room.
In the green room.
There we go. Well, we tried.
In the green room.
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, goodbye. And don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.